Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
It's so good to have you here this morning. I want to say a big welcome. I know Rachel already welcomed you, but I want to welcome you again to Elevation in Mandurah, whether you're here for the first time or second time or the 10th time or the 100th time or the wherever it is on the count. I'm sure you don't keep count, but wherever you are, we're so glad that you are here this morning on this wonderful Sunday. Thanks, Josh. What a legend. Sorry, a bit OCD, so it has to be the same angle every time. But that's okay. Great to have you. And if I haven't met you before, my name's Marty. And like I said, together with Rach, we get the great privilege of leading and pastoring this location here. Last week, if you were with us, or maybe if you couldn't, you checked it out on the podcast already. We heard from our lead pastor, Pastor Ross Abraham, who spoke to all 11 locations not at once because we're in three different time zones, but, you know, on the same Sunday. And we started our series called Influencer. And he used this passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. If you've got your Bible or if you've got, you know, some form of Bible app on your phone, feel free to pull it out. I won't think you're on Instagram or anything like that, I promise. And if you don't, it's going to be on the screen behind me. I'm going to read it. It says here that you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. As Pastor Ross said last week, we get these two pictures from this scripture here about what we're called to be. And obviously, as we just read, the two pictures are salt and light. And like he said last week, these two pictures show two aspects of how we influence our world. That salt is scattered. As Ross said last week, you never sit there and eat a bowl of salt. If you do, maybe there's issues and we can have counseling afterwards and all that sort of thing. Maybe if it was Himalayan rock salt, you know, with the pink type in it, that might be all right. But you don't usually just sit there and eat a bowl of salt. What does salt do? Salt is scattered. In the same way, if you picture a candle, one by itself or a small light by itself does make some difference, but lights together make a big impact. And so we discovered that salt is scattered, but light is gathered. We need both. We need to be scattered into our community, into our workplaces, into our families, our sporting clubs, our high schools, our universities, wherever we are. We need to be scattered like salt to bring out that seasoning in people's lives so that people can discover there's something about Jesus, there's something about the love of God, there's something that they're missing in life, just going through the 9-to-5 grind or the 2 weeks on, 1 week off grind or whatever it is. We need that salt to be scattered. But likewise, we also need the light to be gathered. Now, we believe as a church there's an attractional force that when we come together on a Sunday, that does something for the community. I know Rachel already talked about Toddler Jam launching, and I was here for the start of it. And I love seeing there was this guy who drove along McLarty Road because the place was parked out. He turned right onto Jacana Way, and you just saw him. He was obviously a local, driving slower than usual, and like with his head turned, like, what is going on there? Why? Because it's both salt scattered into the community, but when light is gathered together and makes an impact, you're like, oh, there's something going on here. You have, you know, the greenest lawn in the whole of, Mandurah. Something must be happening when light is gathered. And so for week two of this series of Influencer, I want to share how specifically us as a location here in Mandurah are going to create influence in our world, how we're going to create influence in our region. And late last year, I felt like God led me to this passage of scripture, which I've known for a long time, but just really felt like God put something new and fresh on my heart for it. And I knew he was prompting me for a picture for us as a church for this year. And oftentimes, I'd say oftentimes, I've only been here 1 year. But last year, we had a scripture or a word for the year that really based everything around, and it's no different this year. It gives purpose, it gives some the power of focus. And so I feel like God led me here and that this would be here for us for this year. And so I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago in passing, but it's in the book of Isaiah, which is an Old Testament book. He's a prophet. Isaiah 54, verse 1 through to 3. I'm going to read it once again. It'll be on the screen. It says this. It says, "Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities." This passage of the Bible here in Isaiah is what we'll call a prophetic declaration or a prophecy. You're like, well, what does that mean? Well, prophecy simply just speaks to the future. And so the famous Bible commentator Matthew Henry says about this passage, he says that its primary reference when it was written is about the welfare and prosperity of the Jewish church after their return out of Babylon. But he also says, yet it cannot be denied that it has a further and principal reference to the gospel church, and that is us today. So we see this prophetic declaration that Isaiah makes. It's for the time and for what's coming for them, but it's also for the future and what's coming for the church. And so for us as a church, it's this incredible picture. You see, it has this picture of this woman who's previously, it says she's barren, so she's previously not being able to have children, which specifically in the Jewish culture of the time was seen as a great shame. But this passage, this prophecy speaks of a declaration of something that's to come. And for us as a church, that's where I want to put our focus, is this preparation and this declaration of something which is going to come. Because as a church, if we look back over the last 12 months, and we're nearly at our first birthday celebration, as Rach mentioned, but over the course of the year, it hasn't been barren at all. In fact, it's been the opposite. It's been abundantly fruitful. We've seen incredible growth. We've seen lives transformed. We've seen whole families baptized together. We've seen people turn their hearts to Jesus. We've seen people developing their God-given gifts. We've seen ministries launch. We've seen breakthroughs in marriages. We've seen physical and emotional healings. It's been an amazing year. But I want to tell you, as thankful as we are for the last 12 months and for 2019, we're even more excited for what God has for us in 2020. And maybe for you, 2019 wasn't like that. Maybe it was a barren year. Maybe it was a year where you thought there'd be growth, you thought there'd be change, but it just didn't happen. Maybe it felt like one step forward, two steps back. But I want to tell you that whatever your previous season has been like, there's this prophetic hope, there's this declaration that God wants to speak into your heart, into your family, into your work life, whatever arena it is, to say, you know what, there's an enlargement coming. To sing, O barren one. To make a joyful noise, to praise, to declare that God is going to do something. You know, verse 2 of 54 says, to enlarge the place of your tent. But notice in verse 3, it's all in the future tense. It says, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. It says, your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. So when this word came to this barren woman, it wasn't, you've been barren, you've now had child, now, whoo, get a move on. You better, you know, get the baby's room set up. You know, have you painted it? Have you done all this? Have you done all this stuff? Have you bought the, you know, the cot? Have you bought the crib? You know, this baby's here. No, this was a declaration of something that was to come. It was an enlargement that said, even though it's not here right now, there's something coming and it's time to prepare for it. This call to sing, even though you're barren. This call to burst into song, to shout for joy, that praise is not just a response for what God has done, but praise is power to declare what He will do in our lives. That's the song that we sing here. Often I'll raise a hallelujah that I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. that no matter what circumstances are going around me, I believe that God has my best ahead. I believe that even though the enemy might have, you know, robbed and stealed from me, that Jesus has got life and there's an enlargement and there's something for me in the future. It's about letting God change us in here even before things change out here. Changing us in here so that, just like Rach shared in the offering thought, that we can speak life, that we can speak change out into the atmosphere. You see, it says, enlarge the place of your tent in verse 2, and that's where I want to focus the rest of our time on this morning. Doing some faith actions that if you just look in the natural, it doesn't look like it needs to be done yet, but because we're looking with eyes of faith, because we're looking with preparation and believing that something's coming, we're seeing all that in the light that God is going to do something incredible. Now, unless you're here for the first time this morning, and if you are here for the first time this morning, we're so glad that you've joined us, so glad that you're here wherever you are on your walk with Jesus, whether, you know, just checking out, whether you're freaking out, like whatever, we're just glad that you're here and that you've joined us. But if you're here regularly and somewhat observant, I said that incorrectly, but anyway, you may have noticed that we've set out the chairs a little differently today. Maybe you didn't notice. But if you look around, this is actually, people are like, what? What are you talking about? We have. Sneaky, I know. This is actually every single red chair that we own. So we don't own any more. This is one, well, there's a mucky looking one with green paint all over it out the back. But besides that one, this is every single red chair. There's no red chair hiding in the offices. Chloe was so gracious to sit on a blue chair down the back so that we could say there's not even a red chair in production. This is all, besides the yucky one out the back, this is all 127 of them. That's all. That's all we have. That's all the chairs that are here. But this morning, we did that as a physical reminder because I want you to have a look around for a second. I want you to have a feel around for a second. Feel the space. Try not to feel, people around you unless they're okay with that. Or, anyway, let's not go there too much. Okay, but, you know, have a feel. Have a look around. This space, this empty seat that maybe is in front of you, that's maybe next to you, it's maybe behind you, maybe across the aisle, wherever it is, as a church, God has called us to make a difference in this area. And, you know, there's a whole, as with most things in society, there's a whole, you know, analysis and research, there's a whole science to, you know, setting out chairs for church, and you want to have them, you know, the right amount so it still sort of feels full, but then you want people to find a seat. And I know of large churches that are, you know, very technical about it, and they actually put out 10% less seats than people they had at the same weekend last year so they can move out more, so it gives you this sense of momentum and feel and all this sort of stuff. And all that stuff is great, but we thought, and we'll probably do all that still as well, and all that sort of thing, but we thought, you know what? We want to show a picture. We want to show where we're at. We want to inspire and stir ourselves to go, you know what? There are people in our community that are living without hope. They're living in the dark. Or they may have a facade of success. They may have the car, have the boat, have the house, live in the right place, do all those things. They might have a veneer of accomplishment and success, but on the inside, there's something missing. On the inside, there's a darkness. On the inside, there's a, well, if this is everything, I still don't feel content yet, so maybe I just need to do more. Maybe I just need to buy more. Maybe I just need to be more. Maybe I just need to climb the corporate ladder higher. Maybe I just need to make more per annum. Maybe I need to do this, I need to do that. No. What they need is to find that following Jesus brings contentment. That following Jesus brings purpose to life. That following Jesus is something that restores our soul, that heals us emotionally, that heals us physically, that gives us a purpose, a mission, a reason to live on this life. And not only that, gives us a hope for the future, that we will never perish, that we will live with God forever. That's what our community needs. There's nearly 100,000 people in the region of Mandurah. And for us as a church, this space, this seat next to us, this seat behind us, it could be filled by somebody. It could be filled by a person that needs to discover that God is not an angry guy with a long beard and a big stick wanting to hit us over the head, over the head. But he's someone with grace and love for us that knows the number of hairs on our head, easier for some than it is for others, that knows all about us, that believes there's potential inside each and every person. No looking at people, that's very unfair. I looked dead center when I said that, just so you know, at the back screen. Maybe because I'm becoming that way. Anyway, we won't go there. But this God, you know, and our responsibility, you would have, if you've been around, you would have heard me say it before, you know, St. Augustine says, pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you. And so when it comes to this, it's our responsibility to invite, to engage with people, to fill a seat, and it's God's responsibility to fill a life. I can't fill a life. That's only the love, that's only the grace of Jesus Christ. But what I can do is I can look for people to influence. I can be generous. I can connect with others in the community. I can talk with my neighbor. I can invite my family members to church. I can fill a seat and then believe that God is going to fill a life. By the way, as well, 127 or 128, when we get the one out the back cleaned up, is not the limit either. You know, I believe as a faith statement, as a declaration, as a, you know, sing and shout and, you know, declare as a Barron one, that by the end of this year that we will have a second service here. I believe that for us as a church. Why? Because we're the type of people, we're the type of church that says, you know what? We may have seen God do a lot over the last 12 months, but we're not comfortable and satisfied with that. Sure, if I come now compared to 6 months ago, oh, there's more people around. This is great. It feels good. Oh, awesome. There's momentum here. That's fantastic. But God has called us to more. God has called us to more. And so I want to encourage you that God has so much more for us as individuals. He has so much more for us as a church. And that this is just the beginning. There's an enlargement, a preparation of what's to come. Because we're called to be salt and light. We're called to scatter and we're called to gather. And people in our community, they need salt. They need light. And so from Isaiah 54, for the last half or so, or whatever I have left of this message, I love us just to draw our attention back to verse 2. Because this call of enlargement, I feel from this verse, comes with three pretty simple but challenging how-tos. And so I'll read verse 2 again. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For the next few moments, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about stretching. We're going to talk about lengthening. And we're going to talk about strengthening. Three things that come from this passage about God's call to enlarge. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge it. It's not happened yet, but put an enlargement. How are we going to do that? We're going to stretch. We're going to lengthen. And we're going to strengthen. So number one is the word stretch. So I love the richness that's in this word stretch. I don't know what you think of when you think of stretch. Maybe it's the thing that you know, pretend to do for about 10 seconds before you do some physical exercise. Like, oh, yep, done. Oh, yep, done. Anyone who knows anything about stretching knows that's way not enough. All right, off I go on my run, you know, or off I go on my aqua aerobics, or off I go on, I don't do aqua aerobics, that's just an example, or, you know, whatever. Whatever it is, if you do, that's great. Fantastic. But when I think of stretch, it actually reminds me of growing up as a kid. And when I was growing up, there was a friend of mine, and me and him used to make slingshots. That's right, every boy's dream right there. And you know, these just weren't any slingshots. We like selected the greatest branch with the best fork that you could find. We cut that thing off and we got it all ready to go. You know, we went to the newsagent and we bought like the thickest rubber bands that you could possibly buy. The ones that the post office used, you know, put like 1,000, you know, letters together. And so we bought these rubber bands and we hooked that thing up and, you know, we got the rocks ready because we had an enemy. Because it was springtime and we liked riding our bikes and there was a magpie that lived across the road from my friend's house. And every time we would ride our bikes, in or out of his driveway. And this was one of those psychotic magpies, you know, like it hadn't been to therapy yet, because it would swoop you once and then as you're riding down the road, it would chase you and go after, like, I mean, yeah, New South Wales magpies, terrible. What can I say? It would go after you. And so we had these slingshots and it was great. And so we'd sit in the front yard and Maggie would be up on its telegraph pole where it was keeping guard so it could swoop. Like, this thing even swooped cars. Like, it was nuts, right? So we would sit in the front yard with our slingshots, get our rubber bands, you know, stretch them right back, let the rock fly. We weren't very good shots, but, you know, what we lacked in accuracy, we made up in, you know, just a lot of it. You know, what's those, is it a carpet bomb that they dropped? That was us. We were just like, choo, choo, choo. So it was amazing. Except, just like that exact sound. Except when we came back to his house, because what happened is when we missed the magpie, which happened more times than not, who knows that rocks just don't disappear into the atmosphere. They actually land on something. And that was usually the person's roof that was across the road. So when they came across to my friend and said, you know, your son and his friend have been rocking my roof, the slingshots got taken away and thrown in an incinerator. Does anyone remember an incinerator? Like a little thing in the backyard, because we love the environment so much, so we just burnt everything, you know, as a way to get rid of rubbish. So they went in the incinerator, never to be seen again. But as you know, it was the stretch of the rubber bands that would let us fling those rocks across the road. We all know that the way the rubber band comes, it doesn't come stretched. It comes just the way it is. But you need some pressure to be applied to create the stretch. See, because the potential for the stretch of the rubber band is always there. There's just no pressure or anything on it that causes it to stretch back. And when you stretch it, that's when you get the power. You see, when it comes to enlargement for us as a church, as individuals, I believe that God's calling us to stretch beyond our usual size. He's calling us to get a bit of discomfort around our life and to stretch, because that potential of power is only realized through that tightening and that stretching process. You see, it's time for us to stretch out of maybe the size and shape that's been comfortable, to stretch out of maybe the size and shape that we've been for a while, to stretch out of the size and the shape that got us to where we are. You know, even Jesus, Son of God, fully God, fully human, all at the same time, he embraced and he felt this stretch. I'm reminded of Matthew 26, verses 39. It's Jesus praying just before he goes to the cross, and he says this, says he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, this is Jesus praying, saying, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." You see, the stretch, I've found in my life, the stretch comes, just like it did for Jesus, when I lay down my will and I pick up God's will. It's a stretch that takes me out of my natural ability, out of my natural willingness, out of my rubber band sitting on the office desk there, and it puts some pressure, it puts some stretch on the rubber band, which creates the power for that rock to go flying. You see, the potential is always there, it just needs a bit of a stretch. And only you know what this will be for your life, but I believe that God's speaking to people this year about a stretch. He's speaking to people to stretch, to put behind maybe past disappointments with church or churches and get involved more. He's calling people to stretch and reach out and invite family and friends to share your faith with them where really it's just been on the surface before, or there's been fear that's held you back. God's called us to stretch into that confidence that he has for us and speak about our faith, to stretch to give financially and trust God with our money and put him first, the stretch to let down the walls that we've placed around our hearts because we've been hurt in the past, and to look for community again, to look for friendship again, to go deep with people again, to stretch beyond just where we naturally are. And as a church, we're going to do some things this year that stretch us over the course of the year. Why? Because we know there's a preparation. We know there's something to come. We know that God is moving, that he's up to something, that we're not just going to be happy and comfortable with what we have, but we're going to be salt that's scattered, and we're going to be light that's gathered, because there's an enlargement coming, because God wants us to make a difference in our world. There's more increase, there's more growth, there's more new life to come, and God's called us to enlarge. And the first way we do that, well, number one, is that we stretch. Number two, it says to lengthen. When I think about lengthening, it's all about creating more room and creating more space for people. Today, I'd love you to view it not just in a physical sense, but in a heart capacity way. How can I lengthen the cords of my heart so there's more room for people? It's too easy to walk through life and miss opportunities to develop relationship. And as a church, you know, our mission statement, we're all about multiplying healthy local churches. That's our vision. And we do this by creating environments that inspire intimacy with Christ, relationship with others, and influence in our world. We're about creating an environment in our own hearts that carries great relationship with others, that understands that the amazing thing about church is that we can all come from different backgrounds, different cultures, different heritage. We can have different political views. We can look different. We can act different. But there's one unifying thing, and that's Jesus Christ. That I may never have met you unless we had this Jesus thing in common. And now, obviously, there's going to be other things in common as well. But the unifying fact, the thing that draws us all together, is that we serve a God who loves us. That we have a mission in this city, a mission in this region to be salt and light and to reach more and more people. We want to create an environment in our church and in our own hearts that's lengthened. There's room for more. There's room for more. There's always room for one more. There's always room for more people because we've lengthened and we've lengthened our hearts. We've enlarged ourselves on the inside to go, you know what, there's more here. There's more people. I can enlarge my heart. I can lengthen it to carry more people. So number two is lengthen. And number three, last one, is strengthen. So it says in that verse to strengthen your stakes. Now, I'm no tent guru, but I did do a fair amount of camping growing up and also run far too many youth camps with setting up big marquees and big tents. So when I hear strengthen the stakes, the only way that I can think of that you strengthen stakes is basically you get bigger ones and you go deeper. If you're making a tent, if you're putting up a tent, if your stakes are only small, if they're only shallow, then when the winds come, when the storm comes, it's easy to pull that thing up. But as we strengthen our stakes, that means going deeper in God. Going deeper now in his word. That's what strengthens our stakes. Now, sometimes when we hear a phrase like going deeper in God's word, we can think of, you know, biblical knowledge or, you know, this academia type sort of feel. And not that any of that is bad, but in Matthew chapter 7, we won't turn there at the moment just for the sake of time, but Jesus gives this picture, this parable, this metaphor of two opposing people. He says one of them builds their house on a rock. Building their house is a metaphor and a picture for their life. It says they build their house on the rock so when the winds come, when the rains come, that house stays solid. And we know that the rock represents God's word. It says this other person builds their house on the sand, and when the winds and the rains come, it gets washed away, all that sort of thing. But in those verses, you can have a look at it later, Matthew 7, there's only a tiny little difference between the two people. It says the first person who built their house on the rock, it says that they heard the words of Jesus and did them. And the second person who built their house in the sand, it says that they heard the words of Jesus and did not do them. That's the only difference in that passage between the two people. So when we talk about going deeper in God's word, it's not to be academic, it's not to be, you know, something else like that. It simply comes back to application. Going deeper in God's word is, am I going to read it? Am I going to apply it? Am I going to let God speak to me, and am I going to be able to put it into my life? Am I going to read His word, not only be inspired by it, not only be like, oh, that's nice, or that's great, or that helped me through that, but am I going to put it into practice, into my life? Am I going to strengthen my stakes? Am I going to go deeper in His word because I'm going, God, I'm allowing Your word to change me. I'm allowing Your word on the inside of my life. I'm allowing Your word to make a difference in my attitudes, Your word to make a difference in what I do. That's strengthening our stakes. And just as maybe as Josh joins me, and we get to wrap up. This is number three, but really, it's number one. It's just the way it comes in the verse. Because really, strengthening our stakes is the most important thing. Would I strengthen into God's word? Would I strengthen into the identity that He has for me? Would I open His word? Would I spend time in prayer, time in worship, so that God can shape what I think of Him, who God is, and then my identity in Him, who I am? Because really, when it comes to going deep with God, that's what it's about. Do I understand the nature and who God is? And then do I understand who He has created me to be? And out of that, I live. Out of that, I have my rhythms of life. Out of that, I make a difference wherever I am. And as a church, I know it sounds obvious, but we're going to constantly and consistently, we're going to build on God's word. We're going to, like I just said, we're going to ask that question. What does this teach me about God? What does it teach me about who I am? And how do I live that out in my everyday life? I tell you what, that builds strength. That builds a life that's ready for enlargement. That builds a personal rhythm with God that says, God, I want to be about this enlarging thing. And I believe for us as a church so strongly that Isaiah 54 says to enlarge the place of your tent, to start to stretch. Even though we don't need it yet, there's something coming. There's more growth, there's new life, there's more people to reach. There's things coming, and we need to stretch beyond where we are. We need to stretch. We need to lengthen. We need to go deep. We need to strengthen those stakes because God has more for you. He has more for us as a body and a family of believers together, because there's people in Mandurah and the Peel region. They need what you have. They need the Jesus that's in you. They need the light that's in you. They need the grace of God that's been put into your heart. I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference wherever I am. I want to share that love of Christ. I want to do all I can to fill a seed and then believe God that He's going to fill a life. And we're going to do that in, you know, through Toddler Jam, through youth ministry on a Friday night, through a whole bunch of areas. We've got an outdoor movie night coming up at the end of March, which we'll talk about later. We'll do Carols by the Beach again at the end of the year. We're going to, actually, I want to share something with you because it's fun, because nothing else I've said is fun, obviously. No, but in the lead up to Easter, we're going to get this, we're going to be inviting people because Easter is such a great time, and we've got this great name. It's called Egg Your Neighbor, and so that's not just getting, you know, like raw eggs and throwing them on their roof, but we're going to show generosity to our neighborhood. We're going to get chocolate Easter eggs. We're going to, you know, connect with people, whether it's knock on doors or, you know, put them in the front letterbox or whatever. Maybe it's not neighbors, maybe it's friends and family in your world. And we're going to show the generosity and love of Christ through chocolate eggs as a confidence builder, as a something for us to get out, you know, and to make a difference. Because we've got to ask ourselves what type of church we want to be. We want to be a church that, I think Ross used this quote last week, it's not about its seating capacity, it's about its sending capacity. When we send, when we scatter, that means when we come back and gather as lights, there's more, there's enlargement, but we need to be out making a difference wherever we are. So right across this place, I'd love you to bow your heads. We're going to pray. Jesus, we thank You right now. God, we thank You for the incredible opportunity that it is to serve you. Jesus, we thank you right now that you're moving on our hearts. Jesus, even right now, God, would you just take a moment in your mind? Maybe God's even highlighting in your life, in your heart, people that you can reach out to, people that you can invite, people that you can share the love of God with, people that you could make a meal for, that you could be generous towards. Jesus, we just thank you right now that you would speak to our hearts. You would speak to our hearts, God. God, we believe that you have enlargement for us. God, we believe that you have a plan and a purpose. Jesus, we thank you right now that you're moving in our hearts, that you're moving in this place, God. God, give us a passion to follow after you, God. Give us a passion right now that we would not be comfortable with. God, we would embrace the stretch. God, we'd embrace the stretch. Even though it's uncomfortable, God, we would say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Jesus, let us stretch. Let us lengthen. Let us get stronger in you, stronger in who you say we are, stronger in what your word declares. God, we thank you right now. God, we believe that we're singing to what has not yet come, but faith calls those things that are not as though they are, and we declare that right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that right now in the name of Jesus. We declare enlargement, God. We declare, God, that you're going to move in this place. We declare, Lord God, that you're filling us with boldness and confidence to speak your word, to reach out to others. God, we thank you right now that you're doing something in our hearts, a refiring, a renewing that says, God, what you've done is amazing. We're thankful for that. But God, there is more, because there is more people to reach and to impact. God, they need to know your love. We need to know your grace. We thank you for that right now. Holy Spirit.